There was a man who wore purple garments and feasted sumptuously. There are a group of purple garments in the city of Chicago right now. Soldier Field. North of Soldier Field is another church whose name is Holy Name. I wonder if some of those Viking fans went to Mass this morning at Holy Name. I wonder if they wore their purple jerseys when the deacon or priest proclaimed, "There was a man who dressed in purple and feasted sumptuously." There are some great restaurants in the city of Chicago. Whether you're in the Windy City or here, the Lord has a message for all of us, whether we're wearing purple or another color. The Lord has a message for us. It's embedded in this story. In this story with two scenes. One scene taking place during their lives and another scene taking place after their death. This two-scened story has two characters in it. An unnamed rich man and a poor man named Lazarus. The rich man, his life is a story of wealth, of luxury, enjoying the finest things in life. He feasted sumptuously each day. That would be food served at the finest of restaurants, or the finest kind of food eaten at home. He feasted sumptuously daily. And then something began to happen. A behavior became a pattern. And the behavior that became a pattern became a way of life. And that scenario was deadly. The rich man fell into the deadliest of the deadly sins, and that's the sin of pride. The sin of pride, he developed a disordered self-love. A disordered self-love that blinded him. Eating sumptuously is not bad. But when the pattern of behavior becomes a way of life, and when the way of life becomes gluttony, then it's a sin. And those two sins led him to another sin, a sin of omission. It's not that he did anything wrong, it's that he didn't do something right. And here's the something right he didn't do. He didn't share the blessings the Lord bestowed on him. Every blessing from the Lord we enjoy, every blessing we receive, is not meant just for us alone. Every blessing is meant to be shared. In his pride, in that undue love of self, the rich man became blind to the very fact that Lazarus was right at his door. One biblical scholar put it this way. He said in first century Jewish times, there wasn't Purell to clean our hands, nor was there bar soap. So first century people had a more basic way of cleansing their hands. They would wash them, but then they would use bread to dry them to get the dirt off. And then they'd throw the bread on the ground and dogs would come and eat it. That's what Lazarus longed to eat. He's right there, right at his feet. And the rich man doesn't see him. That's the effect of not sharing blessing. It's in part why I invited us to pray the Confiteor today. Because all of us said, you know what? I sin. I sin in what I say and do and what I fail to do. and it's my fault and nobody else's. So pray for me to the Lord our God. We prayed that individually and together. For not to pray that is to fall into the same sin and to be blinded in the same way and even worse. After their death, there is a huge reversal. Lazarus lands in the bosom of Abraham. And that very act of God shows something. It shows us that the Lord has a preferential treatment for the Lazaruses of this world, for the poor, and for the poverty in every human being. He goes to heaven, in other words. But the rich man is condemned. The rich man is condemned. And friends, he's not a bad guy. He said his prayers. He lived a good life. He went to temple and synagogue, worshiped with a community. And he avoided the really bad sins, those really serious sins, those mortal sins. He didn't worship a false god. He didn't murder anybody. He wasn't one who committed adultery. Wasn't a thief. But he's condemned for failing to love. He's condemned for failing to love. Last week we showed a video, a real quick one, just naming the commitments of our life. One commitment after another, from morning to night, from Sunday to Saturday. We all sat here very quietly, just having visually put in front of us how we live each day. We can get so busy that we can fall into the pattern of the rich man. We can miss the Lazaruses of our life. I am no different. Sometimes the weight of being a pastor is overwhelming. The decisions are heavy decisions. The care I have for people when they're carrying the cross is a deep care that leads me to be consumed in wondering what they're going through or how they're doing. I received some good feedback one day. Somebody came to me and said, "Father, you walk right by us and don't say hi." And I said, "What? I'm a pretty hospitable person. I love having you here and welcoming you." They said, "What's going on?" And I went, "Wow, the burdens of my day sometimes lead me to miss the Lazaruses that are in front of me." I'm so grateful for that feedback. It was hard to receive, but it came as gift. How about you? Who are the Lazaruses in your life? Are they here? Because Lazarus is here among us. We all come into this church with poverties of one kind or another. Are they members of your family? Are they classmates at school? Are they friends? Are they co-workers? Who are the Lazaruses? One of the invitations I'm giving Holy Namers this year is that we be more conscious of those who we are worshiping with, to be more intentional about making connections, about introducing ourselves to one another, of getting to know the gift that is in front of you, behind you, on your left and right. We are a community richly blessed because of everybody that's here. When you're not here, we miss the blessing. You are that important. But again, our lives can get wrapped up so busy. We not only can miss Mass, but when we're here, we miss the gift of the other. So who's the Lazarus in our life? If we can't answer the question, we run the risk of that sin of omission. We run that risk, even though we are a very generous people. When I bring to you messages of the poor and vulnerable and their needs, you respond, and you respond wholeheartedly. We live in a community that's very conscious of one another, and particularly those who fall on hard times. Thank heaven that's the case, but we can't rest on our laurels, or we too would fall into the sin of pride. Who is Lazarus? Mother Teresa, when she was alive, said this. She said, the problem in our world today is we have forgotten how to be with one another. She's been gone a long time. And my fear is that her concern has intensified. We have forgotten what it's mean to live in kinship, she says. To see the other as gift. She lived her life doing that. Taking care of the poorest of the poor. One at a time. Somebody counted up how many people she had served over the years and said, Mother, what's it like to know you have touched the lives of so many people? She said, I don't count. I don't count. The masses aren't my responsibility, she said. Just the one in front of me. It's the one in front of me, and I've been gifted to see Christ in that one. And been given the privilege to serve Christ. Our mission here at Holy Name is as the body of Christ, we know his heart, then we see his face, and we are his hands. Father Greg Boyle is a Jesuit priest whose priestly life has been in the city of Los Angeles. Father Greg Boyle's ministry in the city of Los Angeles has been among the poorest of the poor. He serves young men and women who fall into gangs, adult men and women who have committed crimes, are in prison, and are getting out. He's got some great books out, and I encourage you to read them. Tattoos of the Heart is one. I forget the name of the other one at the moment. He's got some great YouTube videos out of speeches that he's given. In living and serving with the poorest of the poor, Father Boyle has begun to see and then write about the sheer gift that they are. In one of his books and in his speeches, he asked this question. He said, can you stand with the poor, the voiceless, the powerless, the demonized? Can you stand with them so that the demonizing will stop? Can you stand in awe of what the poor have to carry instead of judging how they carry it? Can you look at the Lazarus of your life and say this, oh, noble one, you are here. And can you say it in exquisite mutuality and shared dignity? Our job, friends, is to help each other get to heaven. Our job is to carry each other, walk with each other on this journey to heaven. Unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain. That house was at the top of the hill. That's where Jerusalem is. And as people were walking up that hill, they walk hand in hand, caring for one another. Jerusalem has always been a sign or a metaphor of heaven. Heaven's described as a new Jerusalem. Our great opportunity is to help each other get there. May we see one another there one day, and all our sisters and brothers standing in awe and exquisite mutuality and shared dignity as sons and daughters of our God.